You're listening to Bible Prophecy Daily, a weekday podcast where Bible prophecy matters and matters greatly.
Hey, Marquis Laughlin here. Welcome to another edition of Bible Prophecy Daily, the podcast. I'm your host, and we are running through Revelation, the book of Revelation, chapter by chapter, in what I call, or like to refer to, my Revelation Director's Commentary. And it's called that because we're just trying to get the basic questions, just like a director would ask, what's going on in this scene? That's how we're approaching it. Really, maybe if you're fourth or fifth grade and you want to ask an obvious question and you go to a commentary and it's not in there, well, that's what this is for. It's for those. I know you've been studying Revelation in all likelihood because you're listening to this podcast, and I know you know what I mean. You go to the commentary and it tells you some details about the environment at the time of John or whatever, and you're trying to connect this to other scriptures, and it's shining very little light on that. And so you can't even find out sometimes the simplest answers, like who is saying this and why? Why are they saying this now? Who, what, where, when, why, and sometimes even how. That's what we're trying to cover. Cover our basics. Big questions give us a lot more information and a lot more certainty about how to understand what God has written through the Holy Spirit. So that's what we're trying to do. We're on chapter 17 of all chapters this week. Now, probably the most difficult chapter to write any commentary on. There's such a diverse opinion about many of the verses in this chapter because it's largely about Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and of the abominations of the earth. So there's a lot written about Mystery Babylon, or Babylon the Great, the daughter of Babylon, Babylon, in Scripture, so much so that it is outside of Jerusalem. There is no other place that the Bible says more about, no other city. So we need to grapple with lots of Scripture. We're going to do this in a two-parter. I'm going to try to tackle some of the relationships Revelation talks about, that this mystery Babylon entity figure, I don't know what to really call her, to allow you to grasp the totality of what's going on here. But we're going to talk about the relationships, how she is viewed, and that's going to help us understand at least kind of where she fits in the end time scenario, the tribulation period, her role, how she interacts and is viewed by not just by God, but by the saints, by the world, and by the kings of the earth. What do they think of her? So we're going to try to get into some of that. We're going to look in part two. We're going to kind of focus on parallel passages, passages in the Old Testament that talk about the Babylon that, you know, basically what... Why is this place such a key to Bible prophecy, and what can we learn? Are there details to this scene that we see in Revelation that are in the Old Testament? And is John giving us some clues by mentioning some of those verses, almost quoting them verbatim to point us back to those books? We're going to do that, a little of that, on the next podcast to wrap up chapter 17. But just tough stuff. Remember, she is called Mystery Babylon the Great for a reason, because the mystery is being revealed. We're close to it, but we don't see it fully or understand it fully. So I'm not going to claim to understand this fully. My view on this has evolved several times since I've been studying Revelation. When I memorized Revelation and started performing it, I've probably presented it close to 700 times now over 30 some years. presented it live, the entire book. And so I get a chance to review it pretty constantly and be studying it and still working out knots that I don't understand. And my opinions about Babylon the Great have evolved tremendously as history has started to play out. We start to understand how this particular entity might operate in our day. We know what the roots are, and I've just have been able to incorporate more and more of the scripture in my views. I realize if you ignore certain scriptures about something, you're going to have a distorted view of it, and that's at your peril, because all of God's word is going to be fulfilled. Not one jot or diddle or tittle, as Jesus would say, will be taken away. So it's a big picture. You're going to be using all of the puzzle pieces. It's kind of like you put something together, and if you have pieces left over, you know you probably did something wrong. Well, that's how this is. And that's how people approach it, because it's such a vast topic. They invariably don't mention several prophecies that are related to it and don't even realize they miss those prophecies. So very humbling. But that's what we're going to try to do. We're going to try to focus today on chapter 17, part one, and we're going to try to focus on the relationship. So as I read this, this portion of scripture, I will try to explain some of the relationships as we go. Here's how chapter 17 starts. Verse 1. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and said to me. So there's your context. The bowls of God's wrath have just been poured out. Now he's going to say, come, let me show you the punishment of the great prostitute who sits on many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed sexual immorality, and with the wine of whose sexual immorality the dwellers on earth have become drunk. That is a huge statement telling us how the world sees this particular woman, this prostitute. I mean, that's a huge, huge clue as to her identity. So what do you have there? You have context and you have relationship. Context is, we just poured out God's wrath on the earth. One of the angels who actually had the bowls to do that is coming to John and saying, John, I got to show you this woman who was punished. In other words, part of the reason we just poured out the bowls of God's wrath on the earth was because of this. So you're going to see information in a scene, things that have taken place just prior to the bowls being poured out. That's what he's saying. This is why we just did what we did. That's very big, a big context piece, because now you know, okay, we're going to get a flashback that he overlooked the details on before he got to before the bowls were poured out. We're getting this is pre-bowls being poured out. This is what we're going to understand some of what was going on and why they were poured out. So good stuff, but basic context. So he says that, and in verse 3 he says, and he carried me away, the angel, carried me away in the spirit into a wilderness or a desert, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast that was full of blasphemous names, and it had seven heads and 10 horns. Now the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet, and adorned with gold and jewels and pearls, holding in her hand a golden cup full of abominations and the impurities of her sexual immorality. And on her forehead was written a name of mystery, Babylon the Great, mother of prostitutes and of earth's abominations. And I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints, the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. Now, if anything should shake you, it should be that line. Verse 6, and I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints, the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. That's pretty heavy. She's responsible for the martyrs of Jesus. But wait, Marquis, you say, isn't the beast, the Antichrist and the false prophet, aren't they the ones responsible? They do the mark of the beast and everything. Well, this is telling me that there's a persecution of Christians largely because of what this woman has, her influence on the world. And there's an influence, the influence she has has got something to do with sexuality. which is fascinating. And everybody is bought into her view of it, except for these saints. Interesting, considering the cultural war that we're dealing with in this country and worldwide, the progression of the people wanting to be whatever they say they are sexually. There's so many dimensions to this. You know, I could, like I say, I could go geographical, I could go false worship, and I could go so many ways as we try to look at this. I think that's why it's a mystery. There's a lot of depth to this. I could go spiritually. We could look at the fallen angels who are reigning over the kings of the earth and try to figure out who might be behind this. We could look at the false gods that have cropped up over and over again and try to figure out which entity is probably pushing this woman the most. So just a lot of fascinating ways to go. But I think the bottom line to take away from this is that this woman is going to martyr and persecute believers in Jesus Christ and in his word. And that is a big deal. It's such a big deal that God judges her because of the way she treated us, which is heavy. It goes on. Verse 7 says, "When I saw her, I marveled greatly. But the angel said to me, 'Why do you marvel? I will tell you the mystery of the woman, and of the beast with 7 heads and 10 horns that carries her. The beast that you saw was, and is not, and is about to rise from the bottomless pit and go to destruction. And the dwellers on earth, whose names have not been written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, will marvel to see the beast, because it was, and is not, and is to come." Wow, that's heavy. So he's giving us the context. We have the Antichrist. We know the beast is the Antichrist. He once was, now is not in John's time, and he's about to rise from the bottomless pit and go to destruction. So he's going to come up out of the bottomless pit, and he's an entity, a fallen angel, a demonic entity that's going to enter into the Antichrist. He existed at one point, is not now. He went down into the pit, and now they're bringing him back. So it's a resurrection of sorts by Satan. People go, Satan's going to indwell him, but actually, it's another entity that Satan controls that is going to, in all likelihood, be the beast. So as opposed to Satan himself, Satan is the dragon, and they're both going to be hanging out down here on earth in living color, in front of everybody and be worshipped by everybody. So you have this, father, son, even with the false prophet doing all the signs, Holy Spirit kind of trinity of evil, the trifecta of evil at play during this time period. So this woman, Babylon the Great, whoever she is, she's going to exist, this entity is going to exist and going to be riding on the beast, on this final world government. She's going to be controlling everything. And the beast and the 10 horns you saw are going to hate her and take her out. And that's part of God's wrath on her. So really fascinating to see those characters at play. Who knows about who's around at the same time? It's kind of like when you look back at scripture and you realize, oh gosh, Noah knew Abraham, or Noah knew Adam. You know what I'm saying? These people, they knew each other. You know, they were my great 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 grandson. You know, because you're living 1,000 years. You know, maybe you know, so you don't, we don't realize that sometimes. We look and we're reading about people, like, really? They were contemporaries? Daniel and Ezekiel and Jeremiah, and they all hung out kind of? I mean, they knew each other, of each other and stuff? Yeah, stuff like that. So I just think this is fascinating because that gives us insight into the scenes. And now we're watching not just the Antichrist, but we're watching for a woman who's controlling the whole world. She's sitting on the beast, controlling the beast. And she's influencing the whole world, and she's very wealthy, and she's very promiscuous, she's very do whatever you want sexually. And she is the root cause of martyrdom for the saints. I think if you can take anything away from this particular podcast, scripturally, is that, hey, when Jesus comes back, the church is going to rejoice that he judged Babylon the Great. We're not going to be rejoicing that he judged the Antichrist and the false prophet. I'm sure we'll be happy about it, but we're recorded in Scripture as having a party because she goes down. That's something sobering to think about. So watching, we really need to make sure what we're watching for is that it's important that we're watching for the right thing. So that's why we need to know more about Babylon the Great. So he goes on to say, in verse 9 of chapter 17, it goes on to say, this calls for a mind with wisdom. So the angel said, I got to break it down for you. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman is seated. They are also seven kings, five of whom have fallen. One is, the other has not yet come. And when he does come, he must remain only a little while. So what we're getting is some historic context for the woman. She's been around for a while. She's been around for several kingdoms. She's ruled over them and dominated them with her sexual immorality and the wine of her adulteries. So she's used to doing this. She's in this business. And we'll get to see just exactly how much she's in this business as we start looking at scriptures in the Old Testament. On the next podcast, we're going to look at scriptures that talk about Babylon the Great, talk about this woman who's in a that is got to be sent to Babel, to a country, send her to Babylon until she's full grown, and then she's going to be judged. So we're going to see a foreshadowing, a telling of an angel, we're going to see them foretelling this Babylon the Great existing, her evil growing to its height, and her being judged because of it. So it's not a new thing. It's an old thing that keeps happening. She's really at the root of a lot of sin. So it's pretty fascinating. Okay, so what we'll do, let me get back to this. We'll go into the political aspects of that on the next show too. I want to keep going because I've got to get to the meat of this. Okay, so he's breaking down what the woman is sitting on. She's sitting on a beast. He's describing what the heads are, what they mean. We know that this is her ultimate seat is on the Antichrist kingdom. She's reigning over his kingdom, and she is shaken off. He has 10 kings, and the 10 horns that you saw are 10 kings who have not yet received royal power. So when she is sitting on them, they will have received their royal power. They're about to receive their royal power, but they are to receive authority as kings for 1 hour together with the beast. They're not in power while she's sitting on them. That's one of the reasons why the beast and the 10 horns hate the prostitute and want to bring her to ruin. They want to shake off her power over them. So there's major conflict here that creates war and a power struggle, and the saints are found in the midst of that, and they're being persecuted. So that's the context. That's how we're watching it, and we are victims of both sides' persecution, first from the woman and then from the Antichrist and the false prophet. So heavy stuff. Okay, and then he says, the 10 kings are of one mind, and they hand over their power and authority to the beast. They will make war on the Lamb, and the Lamb will conquer them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and those with him are called and chosen and faithful. So there you have it. Jesus comes back. First, the Antichrist, the beast and the false prophet, they war against the woman with the 10 horns, and when they dump her, and destroy her, then they fight against Jesus, and Jesus with his saints coming with him, his called, chosen, and faithful. So we're the called, chosen, and faithful, and so we're with the Lord, and that is when he destroys the Antichrist and the false prophet, the beast. So then the angel goes on in verse 15, he says, and the angel said to me, the waters you saw where the prostitute is seated are peoples and multitudes and nations and languages. So this is a worldwide entity that has major impact and influence. During the first and second half of Daniel's 70th week. That's what you're looking at, a major, major worldwide player and influence that has a dominating impact on the culture and on politics and power. And then in verse 16, John goes on to say, and the ten horns, or the angel goes on to say, explaining to John, and the ten horns you saw, they and the beast will hate the prostitute. They will make her desolate and naked and devour her flesh and burn her up with fire. So that's pretty heavy. That's pretty graphic. They're not going to like her. And they're going to take her out, and the world's going to see it. And he says in verse 17, for God has put it into their hearts to carry out his purpose by being of one mind and handing over their royal power to the beast. Pretty interesting. God plans it. God planned it because it worked in his plan. And we see God doing that all through the Old Testament. There's an evil nation, and God brings another evil nation, more evil, to come. He uses it to come and destroy the evil nation. That's what happened to Israel over and over again. Their leaders would get evil and corrupt. They'd start doing wrong, even though they know better. God would find another nation that was more evil and use them to destroy it. And that's pretty much the history of man. One nation starts out, they start out good. They turn to evil. God uses another evil nation to destroy them and take their land, and so on and so on. That's why every people group has been displaced or destroyed and started up again another, you know, country or whatever, someplace else. Because God gets rid, in his mercy, gets rid of evil nations that go against his law and defile the land. They get vomited out. That's what it happens. That's why we're seeing a constant flow of wars, is because nations are being vomited out and displaced. That's part of the process. But the angel says, in verse 18, he says, and the woman that you saw is the great city that has dominion over the kings of the earth. Now, this is really interesting, because here that word for city is really a city. So we have a place, and we can look scripturally. There are a lot of things about this place geographically, and even the fact that John's taken to a desert to see this woman. There's just all kinds of clues geographically about this place and where it might be. And it is a place, because remember, the kings of the earth, when she is judged, which will be in chapter 18, they stand far off, and they see her destruction. Everybody looks from afar, and woes about it. So it's a place people can identify and look. They know where it is. It's surrounded by water. They have a lot of merchants that ship a lot of stuff to her. There's all kinds of great clues geographically, and so that's a whole nother podcast to dig into. So rather than get into the details of what are the horns on the beast mean here? What is she riding? The nitty gritty political details, I'm going to try to just give you the relational stuff, which is the big stuff to take away here is you're seeing an end times entity with major power and influence worldwide, a worldwide system, a worldwide, I would say, government. Because remember, the beast and the ten horns hate her, and they destroy her to get full power and control over the world. Remember, the Antichrist can't come to power to reign completely until this woman goes down. So that's a big deal. So you wonder, when does she go down? At what point does he take her out? And why is she such a competitor for his total control of the world? So just something to look for. The wine of her adulteries, literally the pharmacia of her adulteries. The word we get pharmaceuticals from is what she's accused of trafficking in. So there's another fascinating insight. And remember, she is blamed for the blood of the martyrs and the saints and the prophets and all who have been killed on the earth. So what did she do to kill that many people? What does she do? Is it something related to the pharmaceutical industry? Something related to abortion? She's killing innocent lives. Is it something related to, you know, what does she do? That's some serious evil to ponder that we're going to have to deal with as believers, or our kids. This is pretty heavy, heavy duty stuff. And I think most believers don't even see anything like it coming. They're completely fascinated with the Antichrist and see that as the threat. And not that it's not a threat, but I think that it's not round one of a very difficult fight for believers. I think this woman, it may be an industry, it may be the United Nations, who knows it, but they're very wealthy and they're very powerful and very influential. And they're going to, all by their lonesome, or maybe with the Antichrist help, persecute the saints. And when it's all said and done, we'll be glad that they were destroyed. So it pays good. It's worth mentioning. Let's keep an eye on what this entity is. So hopefully I'll be able to give you a little more information on the next podcast. If you have questions about this podcast or any of the podcasts in the series, I'd love to help you by answering your questions. You can email me. We had trouble about a couple weeks ago on our email, but it's functional now. You can email me at marquis@actsoftheword.com. That's M-A-R-Q-U-I-S @actsoftheword.com. And I'd love to answer any questions you have. And you might take me a little bit to get back to you, but I try to email everyone back and research things. And if I don't know the answer, I am fine with telling you I don't know. I'm going to go check it out, or at least pointing you in the direction where you can find some biblical answers. With that said, hey, love you guys. I want to encourage you, keep learning, keep sharing what you're learning with others. Because Jesus is coming back, and our knowledge, our survival, is going to depend on our knowledge and how sure we are that what we're watching is something God is in complete control of, and that His plan is being carried out. And the more we know about His plan, the more faithful we're likely to be and be able to withstand the deceptions of the enemy. Like Jesus says, pray that you can withstand in that day and endure. That's what we should do. And that's my prayer for you. Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus.
Thanks for listening to Bible Prophecy Daily. We hope you learned something valuable today. Be sure to subscribe wherever you heard this podcast so you never miss an episode.